take me back before that then. So I want to know, because you were in the cross from Bourbon and Beef, yeah?
Yeah, the Bourbon and Beef Steak.
Rogues, DCMs?
Rogues, right, DCs.
So take me back to them before you became all this.
Well, even before then, it was the Coogee Bay Hotel. When,
okay.
And, you know, when I was a little kid, the Coogee Bay Hotel, this might even before, you know, maybe anyone interviewed in Australia, used to have all the bikers up and down the main street. They parked their bikes out, and it was really bad. And people go, oh, Coogee, oh, yeah, you've got a nice place. Coogee was a shithole full of housing commission and, you know, drug deals and, you know, alcoholics and, you know, it was a pretty rough area. When I was working there in the Coogee Bay Hotel, you know, they still didn't have, you know, cameras and mobile phones and, you know, and Dawn would be beating the crap out of people. And,
I remember the first time I went to Coogee Bay, I had a lot of blues in there.
Yeah, well, so many. You know, people smashing each other in faces with schooner glasses. You know, the chairs you get in most pubs and stuff, you know, really solid ones. You know, people smashing them on the back of people's backs. And, you know, we changed the pool cues every week. Every week. Because it was like, why do we still have pool cues in here? Can't we have ping pong or something less dangerous? Why don't we just fucking play baseball?
So how long were you there for?
I actually worked at Coogee Bay Hotel. I'm pretty sure it was about 3 years. And I always used to do the graveyard shift because I was still amateur then. And I thought, if I can have the same shift all the time, I could regulate my sleeping so I could train enough. So I used to always do that. And it was a very crazy place. And then once I moved to a place called started training at this place in Randwick called Black Belt Pro, a mate of mine called Jason Daly, who used to be the head doorman at DC's, he goes, "Oh, what are you making at the moment at the door there?" And I was like, "I don't know, $23 an hour." He said, "Well, want to make some more money?" I'm like, "Yeah, I want to make some more money. So why don't you come work in the door at DC's with me?" So I started working at the door at the DC's and it was okay for a while until, for me, I wanted to be a fighter. I didn't have any hang-ups about being a tough cunt. I grew up in refuges. I was like, you're either going to get shit all over and your life is terrible, or you got to look after yourself. I wasn't drawn to try to be anything other than what it was. I wanted to fight. And I knew if I fought and, you know, if I didn't get a jail or I didn't get in trouble for doing anything stupid, you know, I thought, you know, through sheer determination and will, you know, you're in with a chance as a fighter.
Mm.
And I fought. Not once or twice a year. I fought all the time. Even as a pro, on average for 17 years as a pro, I fought every 2 months. Like, that's a lot of fights. But I'm like, this is it, man. This is my chance. This is my, you know, this is my way out of being some nobody. You know, it's just like, you know, you step into the ring and the guy, you go, well, what's he fighting for? He wants to be cool, wants a belt, you know, wants a hotter girlfriend. I didn't care so much. I mean, I wanted the titles, but the titles meant that if I had that, I could go to the next one. I mean, like every other guy, basically, you know, of course I wanted, you know, a pretty girlfriend and stuff like that, but the thing that I wanted is that I wanted out. I was sick of being a nothing and nobody. I will kick and punch and knee and fight who's ever they put in front of me until I get what I want. And I just did it again and again and again. I was pretty lucky I had a manager as an amateur because her name was Lucy Tui. Rest in peace. Good manager. And she was Polynesian from New Zealand. So we had lots and lots of, guys from New Zealand I could fight in Australia. And most of them Polynesian, because if you're a heavyweight in Oceania, you know, it's just, you know, Tonga, Samoa, Rao Tongans, you know, Maoris, it's, you know, they're big, bigger than most people most of the time. So I had lots and lots of fights, but I said yes to every fight.
Didn't it affect you working on club tours though?
I was lucky. Also, my best mate, a guy called Tony Dow, he owned a security company as well. So a lot of times I was working for his company as well. And he was like, if you need the night off to go and fight, it's cool. So even as an amateur, I was going over to New Zealand and fighting every now and then. He'd go, just take the weekend off.
Didn't practice on any punches coming in, like, you know, sparring, you know, when you get that edge, when you... I used to get that edge on the door when I was like, ah, fuck, I haven't had a fight for a while, I need a fucking blue. So I used to...
you sound like you were working at really nice places.
But I used to do that on DCMs. I used to find the fucking... Some cunts who just went like, oh, fuck, this cunt's here, look at him with the rats there. I'm going to have you tonight. You know what I mean? That's what it used to be with me.
But for me, it was the other way around. I'd be like, okay, I've got a fight coming up. How can I not hurt my hands hitting someone? Because he's going to get me nowhere or in trouble. And if I beat that guy coming up, I can have the next fight. So my goal was always, I got to fight. And I'd be like, if you want to fuck with me, look, you call me a dickhead, it's okay. That's okay too. But if you're going to try to actually have a fight with me, I'm really pissed off because A, I don't want to go to a police station for 6 hours trying to explain myself. And two, if I hurt myself for you, even me hurting you, I can't fight, I'm going to be fucking really angry. Look, leave me alone. Like, oh, you're fucking scared. I said, no, I'm not scared. I just want you to go away. So, because I don't want to hurt you. I said, leave me alone. Like, they don't get it. They go, yeah, I'm going to show this bitch. You're not going to show me. And so I used to work on the door with a guy called Justin Crawford. He's a middleweight, probably the best amateur boxer Australia's ever produced from Tasmania. And I was like, he's closer to middleweight. And that guy, that little kind of funny-looking red-headed guy, he will punch fuck out of all of you, let alone me. And, so I was actively trying not to get into fights. I remember one time at the Coogee Bay Hotel, this guy's, he's trying to put it on me. He's going, oh, fucking it. I said, fuck off, leave me alone. He goes, oh, you fucking, you think this is, and I just go, I pushed it, just shoved him, two hands in the chest, fuck off. He's going, ha. He goes, you're fucked now. He goes, my dad's a lawyer. I'm going to fucking sue you. I'm going to call the police. You're going to be fucked. You're going to ruin your life. Everything. I said, are you serious? He goes, yep. You are fucked. You're going to get a jail and everything. I said, just for shoving you? He goes, yep. You're going to jail. My dad was going to massacre you in court. Yeah. I said, well, I better beat the fuck out of you then because I'm not going to jail for nothing. So what? So I'm going to fucking catch you and beat the fuck out of you because if you say he's that good and I'm going to get in that much trouble, I haven't done anything yet. I'm not going for nothing. And the guy shit himself and fucked off. But, there was all those, there's that kind of fuckwit. And then there's, the belligerent drunk.
Yeah.
And then the ones I always found the funniest is the ones who felt intimidated, so they go get on the gear and they come back they're geared up to the fucking eyeballs. Except 6 months ago, it was 30 kilos lighter. And he's like, I'm fucking big now. I remember one guy, he's put it on me and he's drunk, not really drunk, but drunk enough to go, I'm going to fucking have a shot at the champ. He knew who he was. He knew who I was. I was still an amateur. He goes, oh, you fucking think you're a bit of a sick cunt, don't you? I go, I don't think I'm anything. I think I'm standing on the door and I get to go home in 3 hours and I'm going to go home and bang my really good looking girlfriend. So if you could just shut up and leave me alone there. And he goes, oh, fucking, he threw a big haymaker. Always the same thing, right? Big haymaker, duck under it, spun around, put him on the ground. So, hey, go away, leave me alone. He get hurt. He goes, oh, sorry, I just had a bad day. I say, yeah, man, whatever. And then he's walked off. I know what's wrong with people because I wouldn't pick someone, but I wouldn't pick me. Anyway, so he turned around and he came back and he's gone, oh, yeah, fuck with you, left me up, you're fucking, that's because you're scared. I'm gone, just fuck off. And he's trying to big over haymaker again. I'm going, boom. I punched him once, I doesn't fuck him. I just punched him in the chest, right in the middle of the chest, because I knew it would be shocked. And he's going, I put him on the ground. I said, look, you fucked, leave me alone. I said, fuck, I don't want to be fighting with you on the door. I just want to stand here and, do whatever I'm going to do, not talk to you, because you're a fucking idiot. Anyway, so by that time, his girlfriend had came out, and she's like, and he, both of you. I said, take your boyfriend away. Well, you shouldn't do that to him. I said, tell him to walk down the street, and we don't have a problem. Anyway, Mister, don't you know how great I am? Because now I've got on the gear, fucking threw another haymaker again. I fucking ducked under it again. It was my grandmother could have ducked it. I put him on the ground. And I got really close to his ear and I said, "Hey, isn't it fucking sad that even with all the gear, you're still a little fucking bitch and can't fight for shit? You are nothing. It's pretty fucking awful." I just kept going, and he burst into tears. Bah! He stood up and walked off crying. His girlfriend said, "What did you say to him? What did you say to him?" But it's like, what do you do? I mean, if you beat the crap out of them, especially guys like that, they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And then, You know, it's like that. You know, there's big guys on the tour like you and me, and, you know, and Tongans and Samoans and stuff like that. And then there's the little guy. And somebody would harp off and go, why do you fucking reckon that little guy standing on the door and everyone else is massive? Do you reckon it's because we like him? Have a look at it, because he's always a weird person, right?
Yeah.
They're never like, hey, good to see you. They're always like, psh. It's like, settle down, man. He's just here. He's just, you know, it's like, phew, phew. It's like, fucking let me get him, man. Let me just settle it. Because it always says, that little guy is the meanest person on the door.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who's the scariest looking, the big, you know, Samoan who's, you know, 7 foot, 200 kilos.
Yeah.
He's the nicest guy. Don't annoy him either, because if he hits you, you'll wake up dead.